Welcome to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. This is Route 14. I'm Border Trainer Shaylock.
And I'm Skier Trainer Ruby.
And together we are a father-daughter duo journeying through the main series of Pokemon video games, the Pokemon anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are back to Gold, Silver, and Crystal video games as we take our journey back to Mahogany Town and to the Ice Gym to battle Price for the Ice Badge. Glacier Badge? I don't know what it's called.
Glacier Badge sounds more accurate, but I don't know.
And maybe we even go a little further. But before that, let's catch up on what's been going on. Anything new for you, Ruby?
Nope. Whoa, I've been sick, per usual.
Yeah, you're sick again. That's unfortunate. But you're pushing through and able to record today, so that's a benefit. We didn't have to skip one this time.
That's true. I timed it right.
In Pokemon Go, they released some new stuff, including the Paldean Tauros. And depending on what region you're in, will determine which version of the Paldean Tauros you get, because remember, there's different elements to them.
Mm-hmm.
And our region has the water version.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was actually kind of excited about that. That's the one I wanted, so when I saw that we got that, I'm like, sweet! So I battled a raid to get myself a water Tauros.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was exciting. And then, most recently, we've had the Nintendo Direct, finally, for the Switch 2, which I watched, and it was pretty exciting. A lot of people out there are kind of upset about game prices going up and the console being quote-unquote expensive, but I guess I don't have a very good gauge on console prices, and so it hit around the amount that I was kind of expecting. So, however, there were going to be pre-orders soon, but that changed with some tariff stuff going on. It's making it more expensive to bring product into the country from other countries. And so they're holding off on those pre-orders that were going to happen in a few days, I think. So we'll see, because the console's supposed to come out in June. So we'll see where all that falls after everything.
June, that's not too far away.
No, it's not. I'm very excited. I have money set aside for it, so.
You're ready.
I am ready. And I'm planning on getting the version that comes with the new Mario Kart game, so.
Nice.
So a little bit more expensive, but cheaper in the long run, because we're going to want Mario Kart, so.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Kart is cheaper doing it this way.
I mean, I did a Mario Kart extravaganza for my birthday, so.
This is true. And this version looks really interesting, because it seems like you can drive, like it's a kind of open world, so you can drive wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes driving, like part of the races, there's actually a segment where you drive from one course to the next that's a part of it. I don't know what all that entails, but I'm intrigued. But one of the things I'm most excited about with the Switch 2 is that they're bringing the GameCube to the virtual console stuff for that system. You won't be able to have it on the online stuff on the regular Switch, but Switch 2 will have it. And they're coming up with like three games right away. Zelda Wind Waker, which is one of my favorites of the Zelda series. It involves going from island to island on a boat, so, you know. And
sounds a little bit like the Royal Islands.
Yeah, kinda. Except that you're riding a boat, not a Pokemon. And then there's a fighting game, Soul Calibur, and a racing game, F-Zero. But they, like, teased a bunch of other games that'll probably be coming to it, and that includes the hard-to-get Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, which is a sequel to Pokemon Colosseum, which is the game that I've played before where you start with Espeon and Umbreon. And so I'm really excited that those are going to be on there, hopefully, and I'm hoping soon enough that I can play them on there for the podcast.
That would be nice.
However, I do own a copy of Colosseum, and I think we still have our GameCube lying around, so I can do that until Gale of Darkness comes, at least, because I don't have that one, and that's expensive to try to get a hold of. So yeah, those are the interesting things going on, news items that I'm all excited about, beyond the fact that we have made progress in our video games. So speaking of, let's go ahead and move on to that. Alright, so, starting off, we had finished the Olivine Gym, and then we spent a bunch of time on the shore of Cyanwood going back and forth fighting Tentacools and Tentacruels, leveling up Pokemon, going to get haircuts on occasion at Goldenrod for our Pokemon. And so we started off this week, or this adventure, going back to Goldenrod for more haircuts for our Golbats. and to check for, you know, the radio prizes, which we still have failed to obtain.
You need to trade with more people.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we've only failed in gold and silver. Crystal's won twice, like two different prizes.
That's kind of weird.
I know, right? Well, and during this first segment of playing, Rosella joined us because she had also finished Olivine and wanted to keep up with us. And we talked about a little bit about what she had done and how we went with her to Mount Mordor. And there we found, like, I totally missed the rock that we had to push. I was sure there was one there, and then, like, I totally passed it, but fortunately Rosella found it. So we pushed that rock, and we found out that in Crystal, the setup above there for Mount Mordor is different. Things are laid out different. There's trainers up there that we didn't have in gold and silver and all that. So that was interesting. But it's not the first time that something's been, like, a dungeon's been changed, because in Yellow, they did the same thing with Cerulean Cave, because I had that map for us the one time, and it turned out to be completely wrong. But then when I played through with Yellow, it was accurate. Mm-hmm. But then after Mount Mordor, we made our way to Mahogany Town Gym, and yeah, we used the Pokemon Center when we needed to, and we went into the gym to face the trainers there. But what was the gym all set up like?
It was a bunch of ice everywhere, and it was really fun. I was like, I'm ice skating! Whee! I enjoyed it.
Yep. So yeah, we skated around everywhere to make sure we hit all the trainers there before we get to the leader. Mm-hmm. And there was a little bit of a puzzle to try to get to the leader. The trainers were easy to get to.
Yeah. And yeah, the puzzle was a little... You got it pretty quick, I think.
Yeah, yeah, once I finished hitting all the trainers, I'm like, okay, let's look this over. How do I get there? Got it.
It took me a few tries, but part of it is I wanted to continue ice skating.
Sure.
But yeah, it took me a couple of tries. But I finally got it by myself.
And a lot of the Pokemon they had, just like with Lorelei, were actually like water Pokemon.
Yeah.
So fire wasn't actually good against them.
Yeah.
Because I did bring Flicker with me. But there were some that were just ice, and the gym leader, Price, he definitely had at least one ice Pokemon. Were they both ice? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, I've got no clue.
Because we ran into a lot of, like, Swinubs, or Swinubs, or however you call them. Swinubs.
I would say Swinub because of the way
Su-ein-ub.
Yes.
Yeah. But did Price have a Swinub, or did he have the evolution?
Oh, I think he had a Pillow Swine.
Yeah, the Pillow Swine.
And maybe a Dewgong or something? They had some of those Pokemon.
Yeah, we definitely ran into like some Dewgong because they can know ice moves and stuff. But I'm just trying to remember, what is the typing of Dewgong? Is he ice? Or is he just water or water ice? I don't even know. Anyway, he at least had one ice Pokemon that I just melted with Flicker, so that was fun. Did he have a Jinx at all? Was there a Jinx in there? I don't know. Lorelei had a Jinx. So yeah. It wasn't too hard of a battle, though. I didn't really struggle. Did you?
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, the battles were pretty easy. But as soon as we left the gym after defeating Bryce...
Okay. So, he had...
Oh.
It says a seal, a dugong, and his signature Pokemon, a Pillow Swine.
Okay. That makes sense. So, as soon as we were done defeating Bryce and getting our Glacier Badge or whatever it was called... And the TM he gave us, which I don't remember what it was. But we can use Whirlpool outside of battle now. So we can go to the Whirl Islands, finally.
Uh-huh.
Which you've been dying for.
But you're going to be the first one to go.
Yes. Once that was done, we left the gym building, and as soon as we did, we got a phone call.
Yes, 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 we did. I don't remember who it was from.
You don't remember who called us?
It was Professor Oak?
No, it was Professor Elm.
Oh, that makes sense.
So... What did he have to call us about?
I barely remembered we got the phone call.
Oh, he was letting us know that Team Rocket took over the radio tower.
Right.
And so once we beat the gym, we're like, hey, we can go to the Whirl Islands now if we want. But then we got the phone call about the radio tower, and so then we had a choice to make. We had to either go to the Whirl Islands or go to the radio tower, and you wanted to go to the Whirl Islands. But I'm like, but I really want to take on Team Rocket. And so because I'm dad, we won out. My argument won out.
Yep.
So we decided we're going to go back to Goldenrod City. Do you remember if that guy was still there? The Rage Candy Bar guy? Did he finally leave after we beat the 7th gym?
I don't remember.
Or was he there until after we beat the 2nd round of Team Rocket?
I don't remember.
Me neither. Anyway, we go off to Goldenrod City. We're going to go retake the... Radio Tower.
And when we got to Goldenrod, there were more Team Rocket grunts, and they were blocking more paths.
Yeah, we couldn't get, like, to the bicycle shop and stuff.
Yeah, and then there were two underground entrances, or exit, whatever you want to call them. We couldn't go one way because there was a Team Rocket guy blocking it.
Yeah, which means we couldn't get to, like, Bill's house or anything, but we could. We just had to take the underground.
Yeah.
So, basically, the only thing we could do was start taking on Team Rocket in the radio tower.
And so we were fighting our way through. I might be skipping a little bit, but this is a random thing. I fought a bunch of people, and then Daddy had to go heal and stuff, so I was waiting. And I asked someone to date me, and they rejected me. But eventually, because my Golbat died, he died a couple of times. Like, come on. And I had to restart a couple of times. So she never remembered that she rejected me. The embarrassment was gone.
You weirdo.
And it was a girl, too, because my thing's a guy. She just kept saying the same thing every time I talked to her. She didn't hear me or something.
So yeah, we work our way through to the Team Rocket people. And they have a lot of poison-y Pokemon, like coughing and stuff. And there was another... What was the other common Pokemon we kept running into?
I think there were two more common ones. There was Grimer / Muk.
Oh yeah, he was another poisoner.
And then there was some Ekans and Arbok.
Sure. Yeah, so there a lot of times I had to leave just because of the poison stuff and getting that healed up. I mean, I would usually progress for a while with the poison, and then had to go. And, like, Espeon was great if it just would obliterate those Pokemon, but...
Coughing kept self-destructing.
Yeah, when I would switch to deal with coughing, it would explode in my face usually, which was annoying.
So I would switch to a Pokemon that was okay to die.
Yeah. But, yeah, we work our way up, and there's a... On, like, the third floor or something, I don't remember, where the offices, like, the desks and stuff are, there's a door that's locked that we can't get through without an ID card, and we find out that we get ID card from the director, and so we work our way to the top floor to the director's office, and once we get to the director's office, it turns out the director is an imposter, which we actually had a clue about a while back before Team Rocket was even more present in Goldenrod, because when we went early on in the game, we could only go up like the first two floors, and the third one was blocked because the director had been acting differently lately,
mm-hmm.
and not letting people just kind of go around inside the building. Well, obviously it was because it was the imposter.
They locked up the real director.
Yep. And so then he laughs at us and says, yeah, the real director's locked up in below the department store, basically, I guess. So we get the key to get into that extra door that was in the underground tunnel, which we couldn't get in through before.
I don't think I ever went down that hallway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you and Darren said that's just a dead end, so I was like, okay. Maybe you made me go down.
I probably didn't tell you it was a dead end. I probably told you that we couldn't get beyond it because there was a locked door or something.
I think that's what you told me.
Yeah.
You might have made me go down just to see if there was anything different.
But... Yeah, you probably were like, what's down there? I'm like, you'll have to go see.
I'm pretty sure you told me.
Oh, did I?
Okay. So you would have had to make me if I did go down.
I know I'm kind of snarky sometimes and just be difficult, so.
Sometimes. Most of the time.
Yep. And So we go back, heal up our Pokemon again, and we decide to start tackling the underground area. And down there are three grunts to deal with right off the bat. But before we can reach the first one...
Okay, I was supposed to be like, are you skipping something?
I am not. Before we reach the first grunt... What happens?
We run into our rival.
Did we run into him or did he come down after us?
He came from nowhere land.
Yeah. So
like a wall and came in and tried to attack us.
Yeah.
Said some stupid things like usual.
So, but this time he actually wants to battle us again, which he hasn't for a long time. He keeps talking about, it's not as worth his time, all this blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And so that was really exciting to have to fight him again, finally. And I battled him. I won pretty easily. I think you had to restart because Golbat went down.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to lose the friendship point, so you had to reload and start over.
I had to do that a few times. One time I was like, I can't do that.
So yeah.
So I let a couple friendship points go. But...
Yep. But I defeated him pretty easily.
He wasn't too hard. I just... My Golbat.
Yeah, you didn't want to lose Golbat. And at the end of the fight, he's like, I keep losing to you guys. So he actually admits to it, finally. And then he's like, because he had talked about Lance talking about how he treated his Pokemon poorly back at the Team Rocket headquarters place in Mahogany.
Mm-hmm.
And so he even references that here. He's like, maybe that guy, Lance, actually has a point. And that maybe I am doing this whole training thing wrong.
You are.
So it seems like our rival is learning a little bit.
Yay!
But yes, we had to fight our rival. Which means...
we have to fight each other!
I have to fight, yes. And we haven't done it yet because we're going to do it now.
On air!
For all of you.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to lose.
I'm actually a little nervous for this battle.
Why?
Because I'm not really sure what the makeup of our teams are right now, and my levels are kind of all over the place.
You're still probably going to win.
We shall see.
All right, I'm going to start talking to the lady.
Azure versus Lily.
No, it's Lily versus Azure.
That's not what mine said.
Well, that's what mine said, and mine's more important. Whoa, it's me!
Lily wants to battle. Lily sent out Belle.
Send out fear. Oh, come on. Wait, level 2? That's pathetic.
I haven't leveled him up.
Waiting. Dot. Exclamation point. Oh, you just find it. That was so easy. It's so satisfying. Fear fainted.
I had to bring out my Spiro. You should have known
Did
I would.
Did you put the pink ribbon on him?
No.
Haha, you failed.
I should have. I forgot about that. Stop making... what are you doing?
Singing.
That's annoying. Don't do that. When I'm trying to talk. All right. Who should I bring out now?
What is it going to be? Level 100 Pokemon?
My Crobat.
Barb. Oh, hi, Barb. Dang it. You're going to win with him, I bet. No, you went first.
Well, I am much higher level.
No.
And wing attack is a flying attack. So super effective.
Dang it, why'd you kill him? That was rude.
See ya, Belle.
Alright, go Boulder.
Ooh. Confuse Ray.
Why do you get to go first?
Because I'm a higher level.
I became confused.
Good.
Boulder's confused.
That's the way I like it.
Ha ha! No. Yes, I thought it said magnitude failed. What? Why did it affect you?
Let me double check.
I thought ground was good against flying. No, it's not, is it?
Ground is good against poison, which I am poison. But Crobat, I think, is flying poison, and I think ground doesn't affect flying.
I thought it was supposed to be good for some reason, but I forgot. That sucks. Oh, why? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, you're not confused anymore.
I'm confused no more.
Bummer. I was hoping you'd stay confused a little longer for my switch.
Why do you have to be such a butthead?
Because it's fun. Yes, I brought out Leafy, so those listening know. My Meganium against her Golem.
And so right now I'm switching out Pokemon.
I figured you were.
Okay, you'll work. Back, go Udasai!
Ah!
Razor Leaf, how rude.
Well, of course. That was gonna kill your Boulder.
Don't kill me, thank you. A critical hit!
Ooh, I'll take a critical hit.
I hope this works, because I don't know Touch.
Leafy, okay, come back.
Why are you doing this?
Do it, Psychic Espeon. Psychic versus Psychic.
Good against me, or is it not good?
We're both Psychic.
Oh. I use Psychic against your Psychic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very effective.
Yeah, Psychic is not very effective against us.
What's good against Psychic?
Why would I tell you now while I have a Psychic out there?
Because you know these things and I don't.
Bug, Dark, and Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah, I figured.
There's a lot of switching out.
So, you're... is it Alakazam or just a Kadabra?
I'm pretty sure it's an Alakazam.
Ah, you brought out Umbreon. Not cool.
Evolution against Evolution. You're about to withdraw, aren't you?
I would never.
Waiting for you to withdraw and choose a new one. Azure withdrew Psychic.
And brought out my Golem.
Gaia. Oh, wait, it's probably not very good. Where is it? Come on. I'm gonna lose. That's not good. That's not good. What? Guess we'll go with that.
Oh. Whoa, that almost took me out.
9? That's more than I got. That's
yeah, but my level is less. I mean, I'm more than 10 levels underneath you. Look at. See, I barely did anything to you.
Yes.
See ya, Gaia.
Ha, I killed 2 of your Pokemon.
If you want to take the credit for fear, I guess the level 2.
I take all credit for him.
Alright, my Crobat's back out.
Why are you trying to confuse me?
Because...
And why'd you get to go first?
So you are technically a higher level, but only by a little bit, and Crobat's speed stat must just be better.
Yeah, that's right. I'm confused, and I hurt
myself. Yes! That's what I'd like to see!
It's not what I like to see. So mean! Wing attack, why?
Because I already confused you. Wow, you have a lot of health. I feel like I'm barely doing anything, do you?
Well, yeah, I do have a lot. Yes, I used bite!
A critical hit!
Wait, isn't it supposed to be super effective?
Against Crobat?
Yeah, aren't you psychic flying? Isn't that what you said?
No, poison.
Dang it, I'm confused.
Hurt yourself.
Yes!
Dang it!
I used bite. Why do you have so much health?
I didn't. I mean, you only did a decent chunk last time because of the critical hit, but you're doing more than I'm doing to you.
Okay, if I hurt myself in my confusion, I might be dead.
Confused. Do it. Yes!
No! I went from 43 to 31.
You barely hurt yourself.
I did, like, 43 down to 31.
I watched your little bar on my screen. It barely moved. I mean, it went from yellow to red, but...
12 damage.
Oh, man.
That's a lot. No, don't kill me. I'm at 9 health.
Oh, you're not confused anymore either. All right, there goes Barb. See ya, Crobat.
No!
Oh, what? I'm still alive?
This is push.
Oh, that's not for me. It's not. I was sure that it was the end for
Quick
that one.
Quick attack.
Oh, boom. Very smart. Very smart move.
See, I can think moves through. Send out psychic again. Oh, hi. Oh, you've got a higher level than me.
Uh-huh. And I also have quick attack.
Oh.
Now, this is why I was nervous. Your Umbreon was the one Pokemon I was scared of with my lineup.
Well, this sucks.
So now I might be able to survive.
We'll see. Wait, I didn't bring a Pokemon I thought it brought. That stinks. I thought I brought my ghost type.
Oh dear.
But I didn't. Wait, what else is good against psychic?
Bug.
Dang it, I didn't bring him either. Okay, I guess, I don't know. Your level's so high.
Yeah, Espeon is kind of my powerhouse right now. It's the highest level of my group, which is why I was super scared of Umbreon. And then when I saw how... not quickly its health was going down, I was very, very, very nervous, which is why I needed Confuse Ray. Ooh, Feraligatr. Feraligatr.
Yeah, let's see how this goes. Oh, don't kill me in your first shot.
Your level is the opposite numbers of mine. 35 against 53.
Psychic attack and it did. No.
Oh, you still have some health.
3 out of 117. Wow, seriously?
That's how I felt with your Umbreon.
That was
pathetic. Alright.
Oh, I should have used that move!
Which move? Bite?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have.
I didn't see!
I figured you had other Pokemon with Bite.
You didn't see it!
Alright, I just quick attacked. So now we're even? We both knocked out 3?
Yeah, but one of mine's in the yellow.
Yeah, well, sucks to be you.
No, I wanted to see the stats! Dang it, they didn't let me see the stats.
Yeah, I don't think you can when you're in that.
I thought I could. I did earlier. That's...
Oops. Maybe you can, I don't know.
Oh, let's try that. Does that do something? Bite! Wait, isn't that good against me?
Yep. That's what I was gonna do last time, and then you ran away. Alright, just took out your Kadabra. Oh, Boulder's back.
I don't know, what should I use against you? I guess we'll try that. You are 20 levels higher than me. You withdrew. Oh, great.
Grass?
And send out Leafy!
Oh, you used a normal attack, though.
Yep, seriously?
Seriously what?
It did... just a little bit.
Oh, well. Nope, Boulder left. Not too surprised. Ooh, Muscle! Oh, so I have Pokemon that are good against your last two Pokemon, but I just need them out at the right times.
Okay, let's see.
Ah.
Wait, did you switch out?
I did.
Okay,
so Golem
I
came
thought
out.
So. Yeah, I brought Golem back out. Because I thought you were going to switch, so I was like, wait, did you not? Wait, what?
I brought out Gengar!
You have 3 Pokemon left still?
Yeah.
I only had 2.
No, I don't. Taking out Umbreon helped me win this one. If I couldn't take him out, I was probably going to lose, but...
No, sis. Of course. Now I'm asleep.
Yeah!
I knew I was going to lose.
And switching out Pokemon does not cure sleep this, I don't think.
No, it doesn't.
It does cure confusion, but...
I knew I was going to lose. Mean look. Oh, because now you're... Wait, but when you switch out Pokemon, then I can switch out my Pokemon.
Yes. The trick is I have to switch out my Pokemon.
Well, you don't want me to switch out my sleepy Pokemon.
Exactly.
Nightshade, what? 109 down to 79. That's not too bad.
No, not too bad.
30. That's not my favorite, but that's okay. Just wake up, you stupid little rock!
Yeah, put you to sleep, and then make it so you can't leave.
And I wasn't playing.
Oh, you woke up!
Yay!
Ow. Whoa. Critical hit and everything. I only have 8 health left on that one.
Oh, now I'm scared because you could put me back to sleep. No, 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 no!
Yes,
no!
I can. Nightshade. Again.
If it's a critical hit, then I might be dead, but if it's not, then...
You're in the red, though, and still asleep.
No!
And still can't escape. I think this should be the last one for Gollum. See ya, Boulder. Way to go, Shade. Hello, Muscle. Do you want a little nightshade as well?
Doesn't matter. I'm gonna lose either way.
Ooh, low kick. Guess what fighting can't do. When I saw that you had a fighting Pokemon, I'm like, oh, my ghost is gonna be loving that if he survives. Because normal and fighting moves don't work against ghosts. Woohoo! Muscle down. Lily was defeated. Whew, I was getting a little scared right at the beginning. I mean, you took out one Pokemon right off the bat. But seriously, like, you had me down, like, 2 Pokemon, and did I even have one down before you took the second one down?
I think you had one in the yellow.
Yeah, in the yellow, that's not down. So, and you obviously learned from our last time where you were, like, anticipating me switching out Pokemon so you would switch as well. Which is what I did to you our last round, I think, that we fought each other.
Was it?
Yeah, where I'm like, I know you're going to switch again, so I'm going to switch so that when you switch to the one I know you're probably switching to, I'm going to have something ready for you. So yeah, and then like I said, that Umbreon was the one that I was super scared of because I didn't have anything that was super effective against him, I don't think.
Well, our very first battle, I had nothing effective against your starter Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know if you brought anything that was effective against my starter Pokemon this time either.
Bird. Yeah. I got rid of my only bird because I didn't want him.
Yeah, the bird would have worked. But yeah, it was a fun match though. Like I said, I was nervous and then eventually I wasn't. Especially when Gengar didn't die and I knew you only had muscle left. I'm like, I'm just going to leave him out here.
Yeah, 3 fighting moves and a normal attack, so.
I thought about switching to Espeon just because Espeon would be super effective, but I'm like, nah. Well, now that we've battled our real-life rivals.
Real-life rivals?
Yeah, we battled rivals in the game, and then we battled each other because we're the real-life rivals.
We can call it rivals. We're working together to get through the game.
Well, sure, but we battle each other when we battle the rivals, because we're also rivals. Just like in the first game, Red and Blue, we named them the rival names, right?
Yep.
So, after that battle, then it's time to deal with the rocket grunts that all give us hints about hitting the buttons behind them to move walls around.
Yeah, you did all that, Jeff.
Yeah, I figured out that puzzle. And I think in the end you still missed a Pokeball because you didn't listen to me.
Wait, I missed a Pokeball still?
Unless you went back and got it eventually, but the one in the bottom left, you're like, oh, I just thought I had to fight the guy down there. And I'm like, no, there was a Pokeball down there to go get.
I thought I eventually got it. Maybe.
Maybe you did. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not that big a deal. I don't think it was important. I don't remember what it was.
Most Pokeballs aren't that important.
Right.
Some are very.
I just like to get them.
Yeah, me too.
So much so that even when it's like a super potion or whatever, I'm like, hey, I can't open this Pokeball. I guess I have to go back to town, dump off some items so I can go back and get the stupid Pokeball. Anyway, we battled those rocket grunts and I figured out the switches to get the Pokeballs, but we also ran into two trainers down there, but they were a new type for this game. We've run into them in another game, but they were new for this game. And what were they?
Yes? Executives?
No, we already fought them.
Oh, that's right. I don't remember.
Burglars!
Oh, yeah, I definitely wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah, we fought burglars down here, where they had the sacks over their shoulders.
Huh.
Just like they did in the mansion on Cinnabar Island in Red and Blue. Oh, yeah, and I forgot to mention earlier, when we did the ice gym, we also ran into 2 new trainers there. They're the skier and the boarder, which apparently were gender specific, because apparently only women ski and men snowboard, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I kind of get it.
I mean, it's technically-ish true of mine and my wife's relationship. Not that we go out on hills very often at all, but I do like snowboarding, and I've never gone skiing, and she likes skiing, but I've known plenty of men who ski.
Yeah, I know, like, it just seems skiing is more feminine, and boarding is more... Not feminine, malin.
That's masculine is the word.
Masculine.
Malin.
But like, yeah, either can do either, but like in a Pokemon game, it kind of makes sense to like do it that way.
Sure, sure. All right. So yeah, after figuring out that puzzle, we had another grunt to deal with. And on her side, she has a nice handy button that just opens the correct walls so we can get back out if we want to. But then we go in through some doors, and there's some more grunts and executives, I think, maybe down here. Was there an executive down here? I know the imposter was an executive.
So there was an exec, I think. Were there executives in the building? Because there were a few executives.
There was definitely one executive that was the imposter, and then when we go up the next time, there's at least two executives.
I think there were a few executives just scattered around a bit.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, we fight a grunt there. Like, I think there's a couple grunts, maybe. And then there's one more in this one area. Well, first of all, one of the grunts was like, hey, I remember you, I think. Or maybe that was later. I don't know. There was some grunts that recognized us from the other Team Rocket headquarters, which was cool. But my favorite was down here in this underground part of the building. And it was the trainer who I came up with he was an obnoxious laugh. And so I came up with a great voice for him that I couldn't remember. So I did the best I could this time around when I read it again when Ruby and I faced him. I was so excited to see him.
The new voice didn't really bug me as much.
But it was so great that he was back because you had hated him so much.
I did hate him so much. Why'd they bring him back? Like, huh?
Oh, so that continuity felt really lovely. But then after beating him, we find the real director of the Goldenrod Radio Tower. And he gives us his ID card. And then instead of going back out the way we came, we go up some stairs, and we're finally in the room we couldn't get into in the basement of the...
Radio Tower? No. Department store.
The department store, yeah. And so we get the item there, which I think is a nugget, so that's just nice for selling.
Money.
Yep. And then we go back and heal, and then it's time to take on the second part of the Goldenrod Radio Tower. So we go up there, and we use our ID card, fight some more Team Rocket grunts. There's one, I think, on the next floor that mentions being part of a trio or like something like that, which I think was familiar from something else. Yeah. We meet DJ Mary, because that's where she's located.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun. And
she also didn't want to go on a date with me. They keep saying the same thing. Like, I'm like, do you want to go on a date? And they say the same thing over and over. Like, what?
You know, you gotta learn the right moment, though. Like, asking for a date in the middle of their place of occupation being taken over by a criminal organization might not be the right time.
It was gonna calm their nerves. And besides, I defeated all the rocket grunts on that floor, and it was fine. And there was a table there, and I had food.
You're ridiculous. Anyway. So
just didn't like me. Like, what? That makes no sense. I'm very lovely. Or handsome.
We go up the next couple floors, fighting the grunts we find, and then on the top floor, there's two more executives. The female executive, who remembered us from fighting in the headquarters as well, and so she must have been the final executive we fought down there. When two executives showed up and Lance battled the other one or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then we fight one more executive who says he's planning on broadcasting the return of Team Rocket over the radio waves and all this stuff. But of course, once we beat him, he's like, I'm going to do what Giovanni did before us and we're just going to disband. So we might be done with Team Rocket. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, we're close to the last gym, so it seems like the right time. The only reason that it lasted till the last gym and the other one was because the leader of Team Rocket was the gym leader of the last gym.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is the case in this story. So yeah, Team Rocket might be done. I don't know. Oh, and the radio waves were also meant to take over Pokemon all across the world, just like they tested out in Mahogany Town with the Gyarados and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all that was thwarted, and so the director comes to thank us.
Oh, yes.
And he gave us each... And on all the games, he gave us an item, but they were different for each of the three games.
Yeah, you were reading and you said yours, and I was like, wait.
Yeah, because I always read it out loud for us while we're going through, and yeah, mine was the Silver Wing, and I'm playing Pokemon Silver, and he talked to me about finding it at the Whirl Islands, or I want to go to the Whirl Islands with it, or something like that. So that is definitely my next planned destination is the Whirl Islands, now that I can do cross whirlpools, and I have the Silver Wing. But you got something else. What did you get?
I got the Rainbow Wing. Don't know why it's not the Gold Wing, but I got the Rainbow Wing. And I have to go to Ecruteak.
and probably do something in the tower, which I won't be able to do because I don't have the wing that you have. That the guy there, when we went there before after defeating Morty, because we weren't allowed back there until after we beat him, he told us to come back once we had a rainbow wing, which you have.
Yes.
I'm going to guess that we can get the other wings in our game, but they might be in a different place or something. Because the one guy says in both of our games to come back with the rainbow wing, so I must be able to get it somehow. And then...
Our next stop is you get to go to the Whirl Islands, but I'm going to go to Eckerty.
Yeah, I think we might finally split up for the first time in these games. I mean, we'll both explore both eventually, but...
Yeah.
However, in Crystal, I got a different item, but that kind of makes sense, because he also mentions Eckerty City to Crystal's character, but when I went to the Tin Tower in Crystal, I couldn't even get to the guy that asked for the Rainbow Wing because some people blocked the different door. Like, they were all surrounding that area and said some stuff that I don't remember what they said at all. But nobody told me anything about a Rainbow Wing. But what I got instead was the Clear Bell, which Isuin had in the manga.
Yep.
Or Yusin, as I've since learned it's probably pronounced. Which actually makes sense. I don't know why I ever said Isuin, because EU... is the beginning of Europe, which is you. Eugene, which they named him in a different thing, which was dumb. And that starts with EU. So, like, I should have known it was you this whole time. But I kept saying Isuin.
Because it sounded like Suicune.
I think that's where my brain was at.
I think it was, because I think we talked about that.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, I'm excited about the Clear Bell, and I think that's probably because instead of getting the two legendary birds, I'm probably going to go to Ekrateek and get, like, Suicune or something.
Oh, yep.
Because Suicune, I think, is scripted in Crystal as opposed to Gold and Silver, where all three are random encounters. Because I've already run into Yusin and Suicune in Cyanwood, which didn't happen in Silver and Gold. But then we also get some other interesting stuff from the director. He tells us that there used to be a tower in Goldenrod City, just like the ones in Ekrateek. But it was old, and so it was replaced with the radio tower. This is what happened in Crystal. The bell that he gives me was dug up during the construction of the Goldenrod Tower. So, like, the bell I got is from the tower that was in Goldenrod. So we might not have got that information in Gold and Silver. It might have just been in Crystal.
I think the wings were in the rubble.
Oh, you're right. I think you might be right, actually. And so the bell might be connected to the tower... Tin Tower in Ekrateek. He also heard Team Rocket whispering and something is going on at Tin Tower. So maybe we're not even done with Team Rocket. Maybe we face them in Tin Tower too.
Maybe.
But then on the way back out of the building, we stopped and talked to DJ Mary, who gave us a pink bow. And then there was somebody else down on the next floor that gave us a TM that I don't remember what it was. And there was another guy that mentioned that he heard a strange broadcast when he was tuning his radio in at the ruins of Alf. So, it makes me think that we might need to try to use our radios on the Pokégear while in the ruins of Alf, because it might give us something secret. And, yeah, we evolved some Pokémon throughout this. We also transferred some Pokémon from our old game, so we didn't have to level things up to their final evolution. And so those will be part of our Pokédex entries, which we'll do right now.
Who's that Pokémon?
Pidgeot. Bird number 18. It spreads its beautiful wings wide to frighten its enemies. It can fly at Mach 2 speed.
Its well-developed chest muscles make it strong enough to whip up a gusty windstorm with just a few flaps.
I'll show you a well-developed chest.
I was waiting for that. As soon as she said that, I'm like, oh man. Serenity's got a comment for that.
Its outstanding vision allows it to spot splashing Magikarp even while flying at 3,300 feet.
Firo, beak, number 22. It shoots itself suddenly high into the sky, then plummets down in one fell swoop to strike its prey.
It uses its long beak to attack. It has a surprisingly long reach, so it must be treated with caution.
It cleverly uses its thin, long beak to pluck and eat small insects that hide under the ground. I had to make sure that Ruby got to start off with her favorite Pokemon.
Ledian, 5-star, number 166. In the daytime when it gets warm, it curls up inside a big leaf and drifts off into a deep slumber.
The star patterns on its back grow larger or smaller depending on the number of stars in the night sky.
When the stars flicker in the night sky, it flutters about, scattering a glowing powder.
What do you mean, depending on the amount of stars in the sky? What goes on in Pokemon world that stars vary?
I'm guessing how many you can see in the sky at the time. Like, what shines through, because, like, maybe it's too bright, or there's clouds, or whatever.
Alright.
That's my theory, anyway. Not everything in Pokemon makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, but Dugtrio have three Diglets that make up one Pokemon, you know?
Triune Pokemon.
It's weird stuff, man. Alright. Ariados, Long Leg, number 168. A single strand of special string is endlessly spun out of its rear. The string leads back to its nest.
It spins string not only from its rear, but also from its mouth. It is hard to tell which end is which.
That was actually really good to follow up on mine. Like, it was like correcting mine.
Rather than making a nest in one specific spot, it wanders in search of food after darkness falls.
Sandslash, mouse, number 28. In an attempt to hide itself, it will run around at top speed to kick up a blinding dust storm.
Adept at climbing trees, it rolls into a spiny ball, then attacks its enemies from above.
If it digs at an incredible pace, it may snap off its spikes and claws. They grow back in a day.
Foratris, bagworm, number 205. Usually found hanging onto a fat tree trunk, it shoots out bits of its shell when it sees action.
It remains immovably rooted to its tree. It scatters pieces of its hard shell to drive its enemies away.
Its entire body is shielded by a steel hard shell. What lurks inside the armor is a total mystery.
Alright, and we finally have some Squirtles. I think my Squirtle I named Raph, and I think Crystal's is Venus. What is yours, Ruby?
Junior Wave.
Wave Junior, I think, but yes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Squirtle, Tiny Turtle, number 7. The shell, which hardens soon after it is born, is resilient. If you poke it, it will bounce back out.
The shell is soft when it is born. It soon becomes so resilient, prodding fingers will bounce off it.
You just said.
Similar. Very, very similar.
When it feels threatened, it draws its legs inside its shell and sprays water from its mouth.
All right, and now with the Pokedex entries done, what did you think about this leg of the journey?
Team Rocket was fine. I think battles are kind of tedious, but it was fun. I liked the continuity a bit. There were some parts that sucked. It was fun. I liked the ice gym and ice skating. That was fun.
The ice gym was fun. I really liked the plot of dealing with Team Rocket and the takeover of the radio tower and trying to save all that. That was really cool to me. I'm really excited now we have these items for the legendary stuff. And I'm really excited to go on the next leg and explore Whirl Islands, you the Tin Tower, and finally make our way to the 8th gym. We're almost done with the gyms, kid.
Yep.
I'm super excited about that. So now with the ice gym done, what is your favorite gym? Is it now the ice gym? Huh. Before it was Olivine's gym.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe. I really like the ice skate.
Yeah. I still prefer Olivine because of the lighthouse adventure and stuff, and Jasmine's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about Price all that much. I mean, it's like, whatever.
I didn't like him. I like the ice skate.
I didn't dislike him. I just didn't, like, whatever. All right. There's not a lot to choose from, but who was your favorite new trainer type for this game?
Probably the skier.
Yeah, I like the burglars. I think they're fun. I mean, they're bad guys, but that's fun. And so we had Ledyba to Ledian. We got Ariados, Foratris, Fearow, and then we transferred Pidgeot, Sandslash, and then I breeded Squirtle so that we could all have Squirtle. Who is your favorite new Pokemon in your ranks? I bet I can guess.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can you really?
You want me to?
Sure.
Fearow!
Wrong.
Oh, I was sure on that one. I think I was most excited to get Ariados, but I do like Ledian a lot too.
Yeah, I think mine's actually going to be Ledian.
Nice. All right. Well, with our adventure through the 7th gym and Radio Tower concluded, I guess it's time for Pokemon cards!
Yes!
Smells so good.
Yeah.
You can't smell anything, can you?
Not really.
Your nose is all stuffed.
Yep. Okay, I get to go first, and I'm opening Scarlet and Violet Prismatic Evolutions with the 3 starter evolutions on them.
And mine has Espeon and Umbreon.
3 starter evolutions? The 3 original evolutions sounds
good. Yeah, I think we all knew what you meant.
Alright, my first, well, I guess not Pokemon card, is Supporter Professor's Research, Professor Sycamore. Typical, discard your hand, draw 7 cards. Oh, then Litleo Fire-type, we've gotten him a few times. We got him 3 times last time, I think.
Oh yeah, because you had the,
Reverse Holo.
Yep.
Oh, Dracloak.
Oh, you got that last time too, I think.
Yep, Dragon, evolves from Dreepy.
Or recently, one of the last 2 times.
Duraludon, Steel-type.
Pretty sure you got him too.
Me too. Oh, Professor Turo's Scenario, Supporter Trainer, Future Card. Put one of your Pokemon in play into your hand. Discard all cards attached to that Pokemon. Shaman, colorless. It can dissolve toxins in the air to instantly transform ruined land into a lush field of flowers. Bug catching set, item trainer card. Look at the top 7 cards of your deck. You may reveal up to 2 in any combination of grass Pokemon and basic grass energy cards you find there, and put them into your hand. Shuffle the other cards back into your deck. Ooh, reverse holo. It's rare. It's Vaporeon, evolves from Eevee, water type. Look at that beautiful Vaporeon.
Very pretty.
It lives close to water. Its long tail is rigid with a fin, which is often mistaken for a mermaid's. Second reverse holo, Exeggutor, evolves from Execute, grass type. It is said that on rare occasions, one of its heads will drop off and continue on as an Execute. I don't really see it, but maybe. Oh. Then my rare is Fluttermane, Psychic Ancient. It's a mischievous.
Yeah. I remember that card.
Ability. Midnight Fluttering. As long as this Pokemon is in the active spot, your opponent's active Pokemon has no abilities, except for Midnight Fluttering. Then a basic fire energy.
Cool. Alright, my turn. Let's see, my first one is Badoo, grass type. The pollen it releases contains poison. If this Pokemon is raised on clean water, the poison's toxicity is increased.
Oh, I thought it was going to be decreased.
Spritzy, psychic type. A scent pouch within this Pokemon's body allows it to create various scents. A change in its diet will alter the fragrance it produces. Rotostick, item trainer card. Look at the top 4 of your deck. You may reveal any number of supporter cards you find there and put them into your hand. Shuffle the other cards back into your deck. Cottony, grass type. It shoots cotton from its body to protect itself. If it gets caught up in hurricane strength winds, it can get sent to the other side of the earth. Cipher Maniac's Code Breaking, Future Card. Search your deck for 2 cards, shuffle your deck, then put those cards on top of it in any order. Heatran, Metal Type. It dwells in volcanic caves. It digs in with cross-shaped feet to crawl on ceilings and walls. It's kind of cool. Pokemon Tool Trainer Rescue Board. I recognize that one. We've had that a few times, I think. Reverse Holo. Pupitar, Fighting Type, evolves from Larvitar. Its shell is as hard as bedrock, and it is also very strong. Its thrashing can topple a mountain. Oh, my other Reverse Holo is an Execute Grass Type. Using telepathy, only fellow Execute can pick up on. They always form a cluster of 6. Ho-ho! And my rare card is Leafeon, grass type, evolves from Eevee. The younger they are, the more they smell like fresh grass. With age, their fragrance takes on the odor of fallen leaves. And then I got a fighting type basic energy. That's nice that we both got Eevee evolutions. And, I mean, you didn't get Glaceon, but Vaporeon's your next one, basically. And
I don't know. Leafeon's pretty fun.
I do like Leafeon. I got a lot of grass in this deck. Deck. I got a lot of grass in this pack, which I'm okay with.
I do like my Vaporeon, though, for sure.
All right, so that's a wrap on this episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. We're also at the YouTube channel, Hunterfield Institute. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. And wherever you find us, go ahead and leave a comment, like, subscribe, rate, and review. Although if you're rating and reviewing us, just only positive stuff and 5 stars. Otherwise, just go away. Just kidding. And also you can reach out to us through email at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. I also post our updates to our game Pokedex, our episode rankings, our tally counts, and things like that, as well as Who's That Pokemon segment twice a week on our Routes Through Pokemon Facebook page. And some of that stuff also gets posted along with other things on X at Hunterfield Inns and on Instagram at Kinetic_card, where I also engage a little bit on Threads. Next week, we will be covering 6 episodes of the Pokemon anime, as well as the 3-part special, which eventually just got smooshed into one and was called a movie, called The Legend of Thunder. And depending on how long that takes us, we might also cover a chapter of the manga. Because then the week after that, we will be covering 8 episodes and the other chapter of the manga, which will take us to the Ice Gym. So, thank you so much for joining us on this adventure, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye! Sayonara. Part 39. Underground Battle. Murasaki sighed.
Look, Zeke, I don't want to
But before the boy could even finish speaking, Zeke had tossed his Pokeball at Murasaki and announced his Pokemon.
Go, Growlithe!
Backing a few steps away, Murasaki tried again.
I'm not battling you, Zeke.
What, are you scared?
Mocked one of Zeke's buddies.
No, I just want to get to Lavender-
Well, you should be. Because my Growlithe is undefeated.
Of course, it's only battled like 3-
Zeke's larger friend started.
Quiet, Eric.
Zeke glared at his friends for a moment before turning back to Murasaki.
Now, throw out-
Zeke trailed off when he saw his opponent wasn't standing there anymore. He had apparently taken Zeke's momentary distraction to take off down the tunnel.
Growlithe! Ember!
The fire Pokemon spit out fire toward Murasaki. The boy, hearing the command and then the burst of flames, dodged quickly to the right and felt the heat of Growlithe's ember burn up the air beside him. Whipping around, Murasaki started shouting at Zeke.
What is wrong with you? You could have set me on fire!
Zeke shrugged.
Don't want to get burned? Don't be a coward.
Murasaki gritted his teeth and chucked his Pokeball with way more force than he needed to. He would be lucky if he didn't break it.
Fine. Stunner, absorb.
His Pokeball released the Oddish, and it smiled enthusiastically to being let out. But then it saw the Growlithe standing over it. The poor grass Pokemon began to shake. Zeke and his 2 companions stared at the new arrival in astonishment for 5 whole seconds. Then they burst out laughing.
What is that?
Zeke forced out through his laughter.
I thought you had a Pokemon, not a vegetable from your garden.
Murasaki clenched his fists and glared through narrowed eyes. He knew he was in trouble. He had a Pokemon with pretty much no battle experience except that one close fight with the Mankey, and his Pokemon was a grass type, which was not a good matchup for the Growlithe in front of them. To top it all off, it hadn't listened to him, which tossed away their advantage at a preemptive strike.
Stunner! Absorb!
The little grass Pokemon glanced over at its trainer, and then back at the fiery Growlithe in front of it, and launched an object toward it. Murasaki was not sure what had just happened, as that wasn't what Absorb looked like. The object struck the Growlithe and began to sprout vines that wrapped around the Pokemon.
Ooh, the scary seed!
Zeke mocked.
Let's get this over with. Growlithe, Ember.
A spurt of fire singed the Oddish, and it cried out in pain. Murasaki was about to call another command, but then the little Pokemon plunged its vines into the ground, firmly planting itself there in the underground tunnel.
Burn it again, Growlithe.
Another burst of fire and another cry from the grass Pokemon. It looked pretty damaged, and Murasaki reached for his Pokeball to return it and give up the fight. He didn't want to lose to Zeke, but he couldn't watch his new Pokemon take any more damage.
Stunner, reach—
Before he could finish, the Oddish reached out its leaves and started to drain energy from the Growlithe. There was also something being sapped out through the vines that had wrapped around the beast and sending it back to Murasaki's Pokemon. And it was gaining something from the soil as well. Murasaki couldn't believe what he was witnessing. His little partner was restoring health from all sorts of places with moves that he didn't know it had. In fact, it shouldn't have had them at all. He had skimmed what Oddish generally knew and what they usually learned first, and nothing Murasaki watched matched any of that. That is, nothing except the absorb move. Zeke looked a little annoyed the fight wasn't over yet.
Must be a little hardier than we realize, Growlithe. Still, it isn't any match for your firepower. Just keep lighting it up.
Growlithe shot more fire at Oddish and barely managed to hit it, which was surprising, since the grass Pokemon had not moved. Zeke frowned a little at that. Murasaki took time to look over the Growlithe and realized it was looking tired.
Stunner, you're doing great! Absorb again!
The Oddish, still a little more crispy than usual, was indeed looking healthier than after the first two attacks. The boy was realizing that he had lucked out with his Pokemon. It may have been the last pick, but somehow nobody had seen the talent it hid, and so he had probably gotten the best one. It took two more embers before Growlithe's knee buckled, and Zeke finally became aware that something was wrong.
Growlithe, return!
A beam of light sucked up the Growlithe into the Pokeball in Zeke's hand. He scoffed and offered a condescending smirk, though his eyes did not relay the same kind of arrogance and confidence he was trying to display.
Looks like your Oddish has had enough. No point in killing the pitiful plant. But I'd be cautious coming back around, Mura. I might not be so merciful next time.
With a jerk of his head, the jerk and his two bully pals headed out of the tunnel from the side Murasaki had come in. Once they were gone, Murasaki rushed over and plucked up his Oddish and spun him around.
Stunner, you were amazing! I can't believe you stood toe-to-toe with that Growlithe. I think you've really earned your name, buddy. You certainly stunned me, and you didn't even have to use Stun Spore.
At those words, the Oddish stretched its leaves toward Murasaki, trying to stun him once again. To be continued.